Fitheads. Welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat. I'm your guest co-host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We're broadcast live around the world, heard in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Of course, broadcast live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast on YouTube, broadcast on Facebook Live now, and of course, picked up on every podcast catcher in the world, including iTunes. If you haven't subscribed already today, please subscribe. Please subscribe. I'm joined, as always,
hey, Rob.
By my host,
Logan,
the MFN CEO. Logan, what's going on, bro?
Because you were acting like Rob before the show. Just kidding.
Whoops. Awkward.
You sure were. Doing great, man. Excited
sure
to be
was.
Going to the Dominican Republic with General Cigar next week. So excited for that. And yeah, otherwise, just smoking some good cigars, having fun.
It's all about having fun, isn't it? And of course, we got a special guest tonight. In the bottom right corner there for our new fancy technology for all of you tuning in on Facebook Live or YouTube. We've got some new technology. It is none other than my co-host on Sharing Our Pairings.
Trip,
what's going on, brother?
Just got back from Nicaragua for Puro Sabor, so we're going to do a little bit of talking about that today.
Yeah, we are. We're definitely going to do a little bit of talking about that. And you had some cool videos, and I kind of queued them up, and I'm still tempted to just play them partway through the show. So I might do that
because,
you know, I like to make my technology break. It's part of my fun. Exactly. So maybe start with giving us an overview on Puro Sabor for the people
It's been 6 years.
Like me,
seven
who didn't
years
know that it's been 7 years. Awkward.
It's sort of like a Cigar Safari style
trip.
I'll probably be referencing Cigar Safari a lot since that's the only other trip to Nicaragua I've been on that's been organized, but on a much larger scale. So it's got... I believe there were 125 attendees this year for a total of around 250 to 600, depending on which night the dinner was. And it's less of a welcome to Nicaragua, this is what cigars are like, and more of a celebration between the government and the people of Nicaragua and the cigar companies that have brought in all of this change to the culture. And obviously they've changed the economical landscape a little bit. And then people like us are just there as a guest. During the day, they're kind of showing us around, doing fun things, doing tours. And then at night, there's parties that are really there to appreciate the cigar manufacturers.
Because, really, at this point, Nicaragua is the number two cigar producing nation in the world. But I think if you looked at the percentage of consumption, there's probably a higher rate of Nicaraguan cigars being consumed in the United States than there is from the Dominican. And I think the Dominican and Nicaragua are separated by a very small amount of production. So how long is
White
Hat Dominican has a festival? They've been having a festival for
Pro
quite a while.
I think it's been a hot minute.
Pro Cigar.
Like 20
years. It's been going
for
a while, hasn't it?
Wow.
Hot minute. So we were talking pre-show, and somehow in my head I had it in my mind that they were Sabor.
Right?
This is like the third
this
year.
Was number
but
six.
That's completely.
And
incorrect.
Did have a festival
100%.
Before Puro Sabor. It was just called like the Nicaraguan Tobacco Festival or something like that. And then when they changed management, they renamed it Puro Sabor.
What does Puro Sabor mean?
Pure flavor.
Pure flavor. Flavor Town. That's awesome.
So maybe we'll start with just kind of give us a rundown day one. Like what is, because you said it's not like Safari. So, you know, obviously I think we've all been down on Safari multiple times. So maybe give our audience a little bit of a rundown of what that looks like. You show up, you pay your $10.
It's even better than that.
Grab a couple
of
bottles of Florida Canyon 18.
This,
then what?
Jason in chat says that you're getting a big audio delay. So you might want to change that audio delay that you said earlier. But while you do that.
Chat or on Facebook Live?
He's talking about it in the chat.
We don't care about you people on Cigar Federation. Just deal with it.
All right. So day one, I may be kind of basic, but I don't believe that any time in my life I've walked off the plane and had the person standing there with a little sign with my name on it. But this time that happened.
I have.
So you get off the plane and they bring you to the new VIP lounge that's in the airport.
Whoa. Hang on. First of all, there's a new VIP lounge in the airport?
Managua? Yeah, in Managua Airport. It's...
Can you smoke in it?
No. Unfortunately,
screw it.
It's not really VIP. It's kind of normal IP. People.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. And
nice.
Hopefully I just adjusted my audio delay. So hopefully that is now rectified.
I'll let you know what Jason's.
Perfect. So anyways, continue.
So you get off the plane, you come down the escalator as normal, and then you got somebody waiting there with a sign, and they kind of bring you to the back to where the crew entrances and just have you run your bags through the scanner there. And then you go up to the lounge, they take your passport and your $10, and they take care of all of that for you.
Oh, nice.
There's supposed to be drinks in the lounge, but I think they were a little busier than they're used to because, like, 30 people came in at the same time. And then once everybody's in and everybody's stuff goes through customs and stuff like that, and you've all got your visitor's visas, you get on the bus and head to Granada, which is about 45 minutes by bus.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. It's not quite as daunting as the 3-hour drive to Esteli as soon as you get off a plane.
Now,
it's always a little rough.
Before you talk about the being in Granada, I want to talk about a contentious subject here because I heard that there was no smoking on the buses, and I, you know, that's
dude,
you're at a cigar festival. What is up with that?
Yeah, so I heard two conflicting stories. The first one that I heard was
you were there. So what story is there to hear? You were there.
Nobody knew exactly why. So the first story I heard was that last year people were complaining because they would get in the bus in the morning and it would smell like smoke, which, I mean, for me, that's insane. I'm getting on the bus with a cigar. I don't notice if it smells like smoke because I'm already smoking. The more realistic one that I heard was people were complaining because the buses in Nicaragua are so small and like those Drew Estate kind of buses where you're kind of cramped if you're sitting next to somebody. So they actually sprung for some Costa Rican buses they had driven down. And so they were renting these buses, so nobody was allowed to smoke in them. Which
now,
is that because, technically?
Well, I mean, is that because the people in Costa Rica are just bigger naturally than Nicaraguans, or what's why would the buses be bigger?
I have no idea. And they didn't see
they got better infrastructure.
Bigger.
They have much better infrastructure in Costa Rica. The roads are much better, so probably can support a better bus.
That's my guess. That's a good.
And there's a lot more tourism in Costa Rica too, so probably the need of it.
Huh. So no smoking in the bus.
That sucks.
So
45-minute ride. Here's your cigar. Don't smoke it.
Complaining about that too.
All right.
Because there was a lot of "here's your cigar, don't smoke it" kind of moments. But I'll get there. So in Granada, they had, as far as I know, there were 3, maybe 4 different hotels that people were booked in. So you didn't book any of your hotels. ProSabor takes care of all that for you. You get there and they tell you what hotel you're staying in. We ended up in the, I keep wanting to call it the Continental, but that's not it. The Colonial. Which is about 4 blocks from Mombacho. It's right next to the square in the center of Granada.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a pretty good location. And the rooms were pretty nice. They're nicer than I'm used to in a third world country. That's for sure.
Granada is really, I mean, there's a huge difference between Granada and Esteli, right? Like Granada is a tourist town set up for tourism with tourist facilities. Esteli is, you know, it's a working town, so it's not. Yeah. And
exactly.
Granada is beautiful for sure.
Yeah. It was a really gorgeous city. And then because of some of the delays that happened at the airport and getting checked into hotels and stuff, we were running late for our tour of Mombacho.
Shocker.
But we made it to Mombacho, which, as I said, is just a couple blocks from where most of the hotels were. Met up with Claudio and got a tour of Mombacho, which I was just really surprised by that factory. I mean, there's so much attention to detail in every aspect of making the cigars. And then the building itself is designed as the worst cigar factory possible. It could not be a worse design for a cigar factory, but they make it work. It was kind of designed as like a mansion. And it's got
a house, right? It was a mission, wasn't it?
Yeah, crazy mansion from this super Italian guy because he put in like super Italian thick oak doors and crazy marble. But I won't steal the thunder here, Trip. You continue.
So, yeah, it was built in 1925 by Mario Favilli, who was a Italian architect who got famous by designing buildings in Central America, mostly Nicaragua. He wanted to design his own house, I guess, and design the perfect house for him, which is terrible as a cigar factory. It's got kind of a courtyard in the center, and then all of the rooms are around the courtyard. And so they've got all of their production stuff or pre-production stuff, aging, fermenting and stuff like that, first floor. And then they've got
pre-industry,
yes. That's the word I was
about. Yeah, and don't forget, the key point we left out is the fact that the entire building weighs like 1 million tons because they have railroad ties going through the concrete throughout the entire building. So, you know, they say they get an earthquake that's like 8.0 and kind of feels like a heavy truck rolling by the building. It does nothing.
He did not mention that.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's sections because, I mean, it is an old building. There's actually sections of the building where you can see the railroad ties kind of sitting through. So essentially, instead of steel girders, it's giant friggin' railroad ties. So that building is going to stand forever, I assume.
Huh. Yeah, I would think so.
It's crazy.
So the downstairs is all of the pre-industry stuff. And I think, I'm trying to remember, I believe the rolling room is downstairs too.
It is, yeah, the main floor.
And then upstairs is where the aging room is, which the aging room was really cool because they've got this, I don't remember how much he said it cost, but it's a crazy expensive humidification system.
Is a few ducats.
Yeah, and it's got these tiny little 15 micron spray nozzles.
No. It's like 2 microns. It's either 2 microns or 4 microns. Like they are crazy small.
I misheard then. They're crazy small. And
crazy small.
They missed it and they're about 8 feet off the ground and they don't create any droplet. They basically just missed humidification into the air.
That's legit.
Yeah. And there's a couple like secret passages upstairs, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Like little doors that go back behind rooms. And it's just a really cool building. And then after the tour, he led us up to the roof where we did a sort of tasting, but it was more of a progressive tasting. So he had Perritos that were made out of Viso Seco and Lajero, and then had us smoking them progressively. So you smoke the Seco and you see what kind of flavors are there. Then he brings out the Viso, you smoke that and see how the flavors are. And then he had us smoke both together. And then, of course, the Lajero comes out and he has us smoking all three little like 4x40s together.
Mm-hmm.
And then brought out the Tierra Volcan, which those Perritos were based on the blend of Tierra Volcan.
Before we go any further, I just want to remind our audience you're tuned into Cigar Chat, broadcast live around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Of course, we now broadcast live on Facebook Live. Thanks very much for your comments and sharing the video. And of course, we're always found on CigarFederation.com, YouTube.com. And Cigar Chat is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, makers of the world's finest cigars. Try the new Heritage or the even newer Heritage Maduro. Go down to your local B&M. They've got a Gurkha that's probably right for you because, you know, there's a lot of Gurkhas. Maybe it's the, what's that Gurkha? The King's Fancy? Did we just
Logan's
lose audio on
Logan?
He's
muted.
It's like His Majesty's Reserve. It's like 800 bucks or something.
800 ducats. So, you know, if you feel like splurging, they got a cigar for you. But Trip, please carry on. It's really interesting stuff.
All right. So after after we finished the tasting, we did a couple group pictures up the top. The view from the top of Casa Favilli is kind of incredible. It's one of the taller buildings in that part of the city. And you can see Mombacho Mountain, or volcano rather. You can see the lake. You can see all of the churches that are in Granada. And it's just a gorgeous view. And they've got the terrace level. And then there's another set of stairs that goes up to like a second terrace where I believe they're going to be building a conference room once they've gotten the appropriate licenses from the government, since it's a historic landmark, so they can't just be drilling holes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of one of the cool things is that it is a historic landmark, and yet they've allowed them to develop this historic landmark into a cigar manufacturing place, which frankly, I mean, obviously in our governments, you know, you took a historic landmark and tried to turn it into a cigar manufacturing, no one would give you a permit for that. So I think it's kind of cool that they have given that and they've continued to allow them to make modifications to the building, sort of provided it's within a certain level of criteria. But, I mean, it's an amazing building for sure.
Yeah, it really is. And just gorgeous. I mean, marble and tile and ironwork all over the place. And then after that, we just spent some time sitting in their kind of lounge that they have right near the front door. Some people are buying cigars. They might be the only manufacturer actually that has a license to actually sell tobacco directly to the consumer on their property.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you can go in and you can buy production cigars. Huh. Some factories may like sell you a couple seconds or something like that, but they're selling. You can just go in and buy a box of cigars from them, which is really cool. And then Claudio mentioned a place that I had heard about from Rob when Rob went down to visit Mombacho, which is Charlie's. It's a German restaurant that's in Granada.
Oh, yeah.
Owned by a German guy.
I think they have a hat sitting on the couch right next to me here.
Oh, nice.
Got to buy the hat.
I didn't buy a hat. I should have. But I got to Charlie's, and there were a couple people that I knew there, so I sat down. Claudio hadn't gotten there yet. Now, I couldn't quite get this straight because Charlie, the owner, was just running around like a chicken with his head cut off because I don't think they'd ever had that many people in there. From what I've heard, they actually brew their own beer. Do you know if that's true, John?
You know, I don't remember that. I don't remember that, I think partly because the boots came out, and that was the first time I'd ever experienced the German boots. And I think by the end of that night, there was four German boots. And I'm not a big dude. I mean, I can eat like a big dude, and I can drink okay. But I think each boot is like 2.5 liters or 3 liters of beer. So four boots, three guys, it's
a lot of beer. Once you start shoveling that much carbonated beer into your body, you're not going to be feeling so good.
No.
But interestingly, they just have the beer selection is Tonya, dark beer, or light beer. So that's kind of where I wasn't sure if it was an actual beer that they're buying, because it's just dark beer or light beer.
Yeah.
And I opted for the dark beer. And then their sauerkraut might be the best I've ever had. It was fantastic.
It's really good. If you like that kind of thing, which I do.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan. I think we'll be going back there next time I'm in Granada.
Oh, yeah. Maybe in March. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. And yeah, so that was about it for day one. Day one didn't have really any super planned activities. Like the rest of the days, if you've been on Cigar Safari, you know, everything is planned out almost to the minute. Like, you got to wake up at a certain time. You got to finish breakfast by a certain time. You got to get on the bus. And then they've got you following a schedule until you get back then. So let's see what happened on day two. Day two, of course, had my favorite breakfast in the world, which is Gaia Pinto and plantains. We went to the Granada Islets. So in Lake Nicaragua, they're from the last major eruption of Mombacho. There are 365 little tiny islands, some of which are just like a couple of rocks piled together, and some of which have giant mansions on them. One of them that we saw in particular is owned by the family that owns Florida Cana.
That's awesome. So
they just have a mansion on an island. And a lot of these islands were for sale for pretty reasonable prices. You can buy an uninhabited one for about $130,000 US.
That's it?
Or you can buy one that has a house and electricity for like $450.
Dude, that's nothing.
Like a but big legit
But it's an
house.
Island, yeah.
But it's an island, yeah. You need a boat to get there and everything.
With a mansion on it.
But then a boat's probably like $5,000 for a yacht if the pricing remains the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you're not doling out a bunch of money for a boat there. And then sort of the end of the boat tour, the point where we were trying to get, our tour guide was telling us about how we're going to meet Pancho and Lucy, and Lucy really likes to get in dudes' faces sometimes. Like the last time we visited this island, she climbed into the boat, she was kissing all the guys and licking their faces. She loves dudes with beards, which had me a little worried. And then we get there, and it turns out that Lucy and Pancho are a family of spider monkeys that live on this island. And they had bananas, so we could, like, feed the monkeys bananas and stuff, which was pretty cool. I've never seen a monkey like that up close in the wild. I mean, seen them at the zoo, but it's completely different when they're just living in the wild.
When you find out that they are physically capable of ripping your faces off, they become a little bit less cute, a little bit more
absolutely
intimidating.
I was definitely a little intimidated by them, but it was cool seeing them up close.
Yeah.
I didn't get too close to it. I didn't want to tempt Pancho with my delicious face.
Mm-hmm.
And, I did forget to mention one thing. So during this, we had our first cigar moment, which is, that's kind of how you get cigars to smoke while you're at Puro Sabor. When you checked into the hotel on day one, they give you your swag pack they had a really cool handmade backpack that's made out of canvas and leather, and it's got little slots for cigars on the inside.
That's cool.
It's really nice. A Guayabera, a t-shirt, a hat, a coffee mug, just some stuff with logos of the sponsors on it. But the pièce de résistance is this bad boy.
Oh, hello.
Which is, I mean, you would think that it's just a cigar box, but it's really a humidor. It's got a magnetic closure, and it's made by Humidif, which is a fairly new company to the U.S. They've been in Europe for a while. They're kind of the European Boveda. They make humidors. They make, like, little humidification packets, which this included, and it's got 32 gorgeous cigars in there.
That's cool, man.
I'm surprised you haven't smoked them.
Well, they were giving us cigars during our cigar moments. So the first one I did smoke out of here because they didn't give us any cigars except for these when we got there. So I smoked a brick house out of here just because I didn't want to smoke something that I was saving for home.
Are you saying a brick house is not a good cigar?
Actually, my first experience with brick house, somebody had told me it was by Don Pepin, which I learned when we were down there that it's absolutely not.
No, it's J.C. Newman.
Yeah. And I smoked it years ago when they first came out, and I absolutely hated it, and I just never revisited. But I smoked a couple over there, and it's actually a pretty good cigar. I like it.
I smoked the original, not the Maduro, but the regular. I think it tastes like pancakes. It has like maple syrup, kind
of. That's a good way to put it. It's got a lot of sweet.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
But it's also got some sort of janky dirtiness underneath there, too, which I kind of like as well.
And a little bit of spice.
Yeah, it's like a cinnamony pancake. Anyways, continue, Trip. Sorry to derail.
Dirty tobacco pancake. Yum.
So the cigar moment is where they have a whole spiel about it. Everybody smokes the same cigar at the same time so that we can discuss, you know, the flavors we're getting and stuff like that. And this is kind of where things fell apart a little bit. specifically in regards to not smoking on the bus. So, like, we got off to get onto these boats for the boat tour, and they gave us a Liga 9, which was the first one. So, you know, we're all riding around on the boat smoking our Liga 9. And then we get back on the bus to go to our next destination, which was the Mombacho Volcano. And they gave us another cigar that we couldn't smoke until we got there. Then we got there, and they gave us another cigar. So they had planned out cigars for, like, the trip while you're on the bus. But, of course, you can't smoke on the bus. So you're either lighting a cigar and stubbing it out, or sometimes we just had to, like, you know, if you have a quarter of a cigar left, there's no point in relighting it. So it was just kind of like, I guess I'll leave the rest of the cigar here in an ashtray. But anyway, we went to the Mombacho Volcano, where there is the Las Flores Cafe. Cafe Las Flores coffee plantation, which is completely different than I was expecting. I'm used to going to Nicaragua and seeing tobacco farms, and they have these huge open fields where the plants are planted in a straight line right next to each other. And compared to that, a coffee plantation is absolute chaos. Those coffee plants are really just growing out in the middle of the jungle. And they surround them with these windbreaker trees, as they call them. They're about 8 feet tall. They're really close together with really dense leaves, so the wind can't knock berries off of the coffee plants and stuff like that. They have a bunch of equipment that I don't think he said exactly what year it was made, but I think most of it was probably around the 30s or so that they used to process all the coffee. Wow. It's, of course, all hand-picked. One thing I didn't know that I don't think a lot of companies do is Cafe Las Flores is super picky about their beans. When they pick the berries, if the berries aren't within a certain color range, if they're too dark or too red or too light, they just reject them outright. Before they don't even end up taking the bean out of the berry. They just put them in a pile to dry, and then they end up selling those, he said, for instant coffee. But it was just kind of cool seeing the processing that goes into coffee, since it's not something that a lot of people get to see.
Yeah, that's very cool. But I do want to remind our audience, you're tuned into Cigar Chat, broadcast live around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. If you're tuned in live on Facebook or YouTube, thanks very much. You can also tune in via podcast. Subscribe to Cigar Federation on any podcast catcher in the world, including iTunes. And, of course, this segment of Cigar Chat is brought to you by Cigar Oasis, the world's leader and innovator in cigar humidification. If you're not using a Cigar Oasis product, are your cigars really protected? Are they? You should set it and forget it today. CigarOasis.com. Check it out.
Bam.
Bam.
Bam. So after the tour, we had lunch. I think they gave us one more cigar at lunch. They might have given us one before and one after lunch. And then we had the option. So there were three tour options while we were at Mombacho. The first one was the coffee. The second one was the zip line, which I wanted to do. But more so, I wanted to tour the top of the volcano inside the cloud forest. So we got to walk up in the cloud forest where the top of Mombacho is just always surrounded by a cloud. So you get up there and it's just super foggy. And you could feel the heat coming out of the volcano and stuff. It was really cool. And then lastly, we went to...
Should I roll the volcano shot just so people see what that looks like?
No, that's coming up.
That's coming up?
Before we went to dinner, we went to Masaya Volcano, which Messiah Volcano, like as you're driving up the road, there's a river, well, what used to be a river of lava going down the side of the road where I think it was the 1500s it erupted and there was a river of lava going down. And then, of course, that cooled and solidified and they just built the road right along it. But you get up there and it's like this, I think it's about 300 feet wide hole in the ground, and 1500 feet below you, you can see the lava.
I'm going to roll a volcano shot while you're down here.
Go ahead and roll it. And like you could hear kind of a roar from the lava, and you could feel the heat from it, even though it's 1,500 feet away. It was just like a thing that you can't see. And I mean, it was kind of terrifying, to be honest. Like just the thought that at any moment, lava could come spewing out of the earth and burn us all alive. And they actually had to back, they're required to back the buses in there. So if something did start erupting, we could all just hop in the bus and make a quick getaway.
Get the heck out. That's awesome.
At least they considered that. No, I think if a volcano were to go off, if it's actually erupting, I mean, I don't know what the kill zone is, but I'm sure it's got to be like 50 or 75 miles.
Yeah, we wouldn't have made it far. I'm convinced of that.
Yeah, well, but I mean, at least they're considering your safety. I mean, they have a standard in place. At least they've considered it, which, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Then you could probably, I bet you they'd let you, they wouldn't be so worried about you smoking on the bus at that point.
Yeah, that's true. I would have brought my cigar right on.
Exactly. That's probably what I would have done.
And then for dinner, we went to, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name because I'll Loganize it, but it's called...
Bird!
Yes, that was a big bird. It's called the Gunpowder Fort because it was a fort from the 1600s that they used to house all the gunpowder so that it wouldn't be right at the edge where pirates might attack. But we had a big dinner there with live music. And that's what this is where like the first realization that it was bigger than just the tobacco industry, because they had the mayor of Granada there just to kind of thank Mombacho and the rest of the cigar industry for kind of invigorating their economy and their tourism industry.
That's cool. I can honestly say I've never met the mayor of Granada before.
Yeah. And so they had, so during the day they have 5 cigar moments that are spread throughout the day. And then during dinner, they have 5 more. So you're really kind of accumulating cigars at the end of the night. I think most nights I left with about 2 unsmoked cigars.
Attaboy.
And then the next morning is when we finally went to Esteli, which driving to Esteli with no cigars, man, that's rough.
I mean, so first of all, I mean, the drive from Manawa to Esteli, I mean, that's got to be pretty much my most unfavorite part of traveling to Nicaragua, because every time I go there, they tell me some, like, and I've had this conversation every single time I've gone to Nicaragua. They're like, oh no, it's like 3 hours from Managua to Esteli.
No.
And I'm like, no dog, it's not 3 hours. And they have this weird timing thing, and it's like, shouldn't you know the timing better than I know the timing? I'm like, it's minimum 3.5 hours. It's almost always closer to 4 because there's delays. Obviously faster in a car, but in a bus. So you come from Granada and you can essentially tack on 45, 55 minutes to that trip. So
actually it was about a 3.5 hour trip because,
did they go around the Pan American?
No, but starting on the morning of day 3, we had a police escort everywhere we went.
Oh, sweet.
I think it was less about safety, even though they, like, all the parties had a bunch of police there. I think it was more about showing the collaboration between the cigar industry and the government.
That's cool.
And also to cut down on traffic, because everywhere we went, we had a cop on a motorcycle in front of us, and they would just pull out in the middle of traffic and make everybody stop so we could just blow through every stop sign.
Nice. I mean, that definitely helps when you're stuck behind the banana truck on the Pan American going
up. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, the Ford from 1985 that's, like, got a lawnmower engine in it.
Yeah, and that was another good thing about these Costa Rican buses was, you know, that one hill going right into Esteli where the bus usually can't go over like 15 miles an hour. We were just able to cruise right up that bad boy.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
But they gave us 2 cigars during the bus ride, and then we made a stop in Matagalpa just at
a big coffee region.
Was that the coffee place?
It is.
Little coffee place? Well, I love that little coffee place.
The place where we stopped, I'm not even sure what it was. It seemed like it was just a restaurant.
Well, I'm just saying it's a big coffee growing region.
Yeah. But we took this place over for like half an hour, and they gave us a Don Pepin Toro, which is way too big to smoke in a half an hour.
Oh, yeah. Unless you want to die.
So at that point, like, I was like, I'm not going to light up a cigar and try to smoke it in half an hour. That's just not worth it to me. And we were 45 minutes from Esteli where we were having lunch. So at that point, I had queued up 3 cigars. And then we got to the Plasencia farm for lunch, and they gave us another cigar, which was – that was the first cigar I smoked of the day. And they had a big lunch where kind of everybody was there for at least a little while. Nestor Plasencia, I saw Steve Saca and Juan Martinez from Hoy de Nicaragua. And we had a nice lunch there with, again, some live music. And then after that, we went to our first tour in Esteli, which due to a little bit of schedule changing, it was supposed to be Prosa Nixa, but we ended up going to Padron. And the schedule said that we were supposed to just see the Padron field. We got there and George said, I'm going to power through this tour. We got another farm. I'm going to power through that tour. And then we're going to go to the factory. And everybody was just kind of like, okay, do your thing. So they had, apparently they had some issues with the weather this year. So they planted a little bit late. So at this farm, the plants were only about a month old. So they were maybe about a foot tall at most. And then at the second farm we went to, we actually got to see the process of them planting the seedlings, which was nice because I've never seen that before. And they also had a fermentation barn at that one that we went to see. And then we went to the Padron factory, which the most impressive thing about the Padron factory is how humble it is. It's just, it's not huge or palatial like a lot of the other huge factories are. Everything is just painted yellow. And they're super, super laid back about what they make. Like, there was no, like, we make the best cigars in the world or anything of that nature. It was, the focus was really on just how they try to do as good as they can and they treat their employees well, which was kind of the theme of Padron. We got into the aging room with the Palones, and I happened to not be smoking a cigar because we had just gotten off the bus, of course, and I knew that we were getting right back on the bus. But for some of the people who were smoking, George took leaves right off of the Palones and wrapped cigars so that they could see how it changed. So one person had a Damaso and he wrapped what appeared to be like maybe the wrapper for like a 64 or something, like a thicker, heavier wrapper, Maduro. And he said that completely changed the cigar, of course. But
that's cool.
I was a little jealous that I didn't get to smoke a wrapper right off the Palone.
Yeah, I've never had that experience before. Have you ever had that experience before, Logan?
No, not where they take a already done cigar and then rewrapped it as it's burning. I've never had that.
That's kind of interesting. That's kind of cool.
And we have a question from Jeff about them boxing into the drone factory. He says that they box everything in the U.S., but George said they actually have a box factory there that we didn't get to see. So they make their own boxes in Esteli, and then I would assume they box there. And I think they probably have inspection that they do when it arrives in Miami.
I'm sure.
And then, let's see. And then the last thing that night was the party. So there was a big party at a factory that I had never heard of, Victor Calvo. Either you guys are familiar? No.
Never heard of Victor Calvo, but I mean, yeah, isn't there like 97 factories in Esteli or something like that 50. In and around Esteli? 50?
50, but still.
So a little less than 97.
And Victor Calvo is right next to Prosa Nixa and Naxa. It's like, it's right there where, you know, where kind of all the factories are. Well, not all of them, but there's a bunch of factories right in that area.
What's the size of the factory? Like, is it tiny? Is it like, is it La Zona size, Nicasueño size?
It's big. I know that because they held a big party in their, what I guess must be the loading area where they like load their shipping containers up. Huh. But we didn't actually get to see the inside of the Victor Calvo factory. But they had a DJ and people were dancing and they had, of course, the cigar girls handing out cigars and, you know, dinner, flor de caña. It was great.
Giddy up.
Then day 4 was the day I was most excited because, as I've talked about before, Don Pepin is kind of the cigar that made me think, like, I want to be a cigar smoker. And on Thursday morning, we got to go to My Father's Cigars. It's the complete opposite of like the Padron factory where they've got like 12-foot tall doors and it's just enormous. They've got like this huge compound with palm trees everywhere. And a really weird thing was in their Palone aging room, it was really dark except for like on the pillars, they kind of had lights every so often. and it was like foggy in there. Looking down, it looked like there was a cloud inside the building, which was bizarre.
Now, do you think that was smoke, or do you think that was humidity, or?
Oh, I think it was absolutely humidity, because it was kind of like not cool in there, but maybe like high 70s, which is cooler than it was outside, and just super humid, of course.
Of course.
I didn't realize, I don't know if it was something that I just overlooked, but I didn't know that my father actually makes their own boxes for everything they make.
I also did not know that. Logan, were you aware of this?
I knew that.
You knew that?
Of course you did.
You'd think that would really piss off the box manufacturers.
No, a lot of people make their own boxes.
Yeah, there are a lot of companies. But the most interesting thing about the boxes is I didn't realize quite how handmade they are. I mean, like, they're made on belt sanders with table saws, and they just use little pieces of wood as a guide for how long each side needs to be and then do everything else by hand. We did get to see them making some of the Tatuaje Broadleaf Collection boxes, which I'm sure you saw at IPCPR.
It's, oh, yeah. The master case.
It's massive.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the Escaparada, we actually got to see the La Verite boxes, which all three editions of the La Verite have used the same 500-count boxes for aging. Let me think. What else was there, my father? Other than that, it was pretty standard as far as the factory goes. They had a lot of packaging quality control where they put on all the bands, then they box them up. Then somebody actually dumps out every box and rechecks every cigar, places them back in the order that they want them in, like, you know, for the facing, so that all the ones in the front row are exactly the same and all the ones in the back row are exactly the same. Then they dump them out and they switch it. So the ones that they had put in the front row are now in the back row. Ones that they had put in the back row are now in the front row to make sure they're all perfect. And if they're not, they send it back.
Strange.
Interesting.
Reminder to your audience, you're tuning into Cigar Chat, broadcast live around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Of course, we're broadcast now live on Facebook Live, on YouTube, and CigarFederation.com. If you're tuning in by podcast, thanks very much for tuning into this podcast. Logan, this segment of Cigar Chat, who is it brought to us by?
This segment's brought by our good friends at Drew Estate. If you haven't downloaded the Drew Diplomat app, you better do it. And also, not to mention, the Sig Fed Cigar Safari, the third annual, is coming up March 15th.
15th.
Yeah, 15th through the 19th or something, 18th. I think we have one or two spots left, so if you're interested, you better hop on it.
Last I looked, we had two spots.
And we have one or two. I think someone else might have signed up. Better get on it. Or don't sign up, because that way we have more room on the bus. Screw you, don't sign up.
There we go. After my father, we actually went to the My Father Farm for lunch, which it was kind of cool just how we just had this giant tent with stages for the speakers and stuff set up just in the middle of a farm where in a year they'll be growing tobacco. And this was where there were a couple complaints about this part. They had a coffee pairing with a guy who's his name is Yamir Pellegrino. He's a master sommelier, and he did a coffee pairing, but the coffee pairing was kind of scheduled weird. So they gave us one cigar and one coffee, which strangely was cigar B and coffee 1. And then he kind of went through the steps that a sommelier takes to taste something like that. And, of course, then we had all finished our glass of coffee, and then they brought out cigar A and coffee 2 and did the same thing with that. And then he's like, now everybody go back to coffee 1, but nobody had any left.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not like a whiskey tasting where someone's going to leave a little bit of coffee in the bottom of their glass. Like,
yeah, exactly. And by then it had been 45 minutes, so it was now cold.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a weird thing. But it was cool, like, seeing how a master sommelier does a tasting.
Maybe he should have a web show so he can get used to how to organize that with smoking with cigars.
I think that'd just be good.
Just saying. Nice.
And then they had like a press conference where the first press conference was for packaging, basically, where they had Jesse Flores, they had the owner of Cigar Rings, and the owner of, I don't recall the name of the company, but they make pretty much all of the cellophane for cigars in Esteli.
That's cool.
And it was just kind of an interesting, you know, they took questions from the audience and they explained like why each of their jobs is so important in getting cigars marketed. And then they had another one that was more from the running a brand standpoint with Eric Newman of J.C. Newman, Steve Saka of Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, and Christian Aroa of CLE, which are obviously three very different stories, it was interesting to hear the different perspectives that each of them had to the way that they need to market their cigars. And then we had our sort of free time, which was just about 2 hours back at our hotel, which is just getting ready for the white party, which is where we all got to wear our Guayaberos. And they actually did, I don't think Nick Melillo was even there for this party, but they actually did the Elway Wednesday play, I guess you would call it, like the song and the dance and stuff, which was kind of neat to see. It went on a little long for me. And
yeah, I have no familiarity with the Elway Wednesday. I mean, it took us a year just to learn how to
say the dang name of the cigar.
So I don't think we know what the play is all about, but that's
It's some sort of play where they have like the old man mask that you see on some of the Elway Wednesday marketing materials.
Cool.
And they dance around and the guy goes from young to old and dies or something. I didn't really follow.
Like, he dies.
I don't know.
It makes a lot more sense if you're fluent in Espanol, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
that makes sense.
And then a few of us ended up going back to Cigar Zone, which was an interesting experience.
Place sucks.
You hate that place?
I hate it. I just don't like it.
And then the last day was a little less busy. We just had two tours. We went to Proso Nixa in the morning, which is Oliva Tobacco Company's processing facility.
Yep. You mean Jay Cortez?
That's right. Jay Cortez.
Yes. The guy running Oliva Tobacco Company is an interesting character. I think he talked so fast I had a hard time getting his name. I think his name was Angel Oliva. But he also said Johnito a couple times. So
there's Johnny, and then there's the other guy.
Angel Oliva of Oliva Tobacco Company?
Yes.
Yeah, don't confuse Oliva Tobacco Company and Oliva Cigar Company in front of Angel. Kinds of bad, especially if you've been drinking. It's bad.
I felt really bad because he introduced himself and like started talking about the tobaccos, and one of the people in the group was like, "So what kind of cigars use your tobacco?" And he basically said, "Anything that's rated 90 plus in Cigar Aficionado uses our." And
good for him.
What are you guys smoking right now? And of course, as we were getting off the bus, we were all given Illusione Gargistes.
Yeah, so we
don't. And it was like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, sorry.
All Aganorsa here.
All Aganorsa, buddy. So not every cigar.
Yeah, but I mean, a ton of them.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
And just like seeing, like, you know, I've obviously been to Drew Estate and seen how they process their tobacco, but the scale that Oliva processes tobacco on is insane.
Yeah, it's a whole, I mean, that really shows you what industrial tobacco looks like when you're supplying tobacco to multiple companies, not just your own company. And was that with the tobacco leaf roller thing?
No.
No.
With the tobacco leaf roller?
Yeah, the little rolling machine video you had.
Yes. Yes, actually that was, I'm sorry. I confused what you meant by roller.
So by no, you mean yes.
Yeah, so what's his name? Christian Aroa's father invented. He invented these drums that spin, and you kind of lock the tobacco in.
Or you hang it on there, and it mists.
Like, yeah, and then as it rolls, it kind of flips it back and forth.
Yeah.
So they have these big steam rooms where they had those, and they're just they're mesmerizing to watch. Just the tobacco just rolling past constantly.
That's cool.
And then we went to lunch at AJ Fernandez Plantation. The cool thing about this lunch was that
Cigars International.
Yes.
Just saying. Just got to be politically correct.
Logan's just keeping it real in this episode of Cigar Chat.
Yeah, real.
I'm trying to be nice about it.
I'm not. Not that I'm not being nice. I'm just being real. Anyways, continue.
But anyway, the cool thing was it was in one of the curing barns, which was like enormous. Like on a Cigar Safari, we end up going to an Oliva farm and seeing their curing barns, and this must have been five times the length. I mean, it was like a quarter mile long, but they had the table set up all the way down the center, even though there wasn't tobacco in it, which, I mean, it would have been cool to look up and see a bunch of tobacco, but, you know, it was still cool. And after lunch, we went to the J.C. Newman factory, which I'm sure you know their bread and butter is Corum. They make a billion of those cigars a year.
A buttload of Corums.
Yeah.
We sell a lot of them at our stores. They, yeah.
I'm sure. They cheap.
They move. They cheap. Cheap but good.
But of course, the more interesting part of that was the handmade side of things. And they, like every other factory, have all these little things that they do. An interesting thing that they do is when they bunch the cigar, they put a little piece of the wrapper around the foot. Then they roll the wrapper on, and then they cut the foot off. And they end up cutting that.
Romacraft does that.
But Romacraft does it in a so that it's still on there when you smoke the cigar. The way J.C. Newman does it is they actually end up cutting it off. It's just there to keep the bunch tight while they're putting the wrapper on.
That's interesting.
But the most interesting thing we did there is we rolled our own cigars, which is terrible.
It's impossible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean I've tried to put on a band, like a professional band on a finished cigar before, and that takes me like 3 minutes. You try to roll a cigar without rolling experience, I mean, good luck.
Yeah. And the we each had somebody helping us, which next to me was Lisa Nielsen from Cigar Press, and she had Omar Ortez helping
Thor's
her.
Thor's mom.
Yeah. Thor's mom. But Omar Ortez, who's the previous night he had actually been given the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Nicaraguan Tobacco Council, I think is what they call it. The name is fluid of that entity because every time they mentioned it, it was different. Sometimes it was the Nicaraguan Tobacco Association, and sometimes it was a council. But I ended up rolling 5 cigars terribly. The guy had to rebunch every single one.
Then
the wrapper I was actually okay at. He said that I had a future in rolling.
Interesting.
I've
never attempted him. Have you ever attempted a roll before, Logan?
I've done one at Hoya, and it was a mess. But then it skips when I was down there. I actually rolled about 50 cigars.
Oh my God.
And the first 10, treacherous. The next 10, disaster. The next 10, debacle. By the 50th, like the 40 through 50, like they weren't good, but they were at least smokable.
No.
All of mine were smokable because they had been rebunched.
This was all by myself. I had no help. The bunching's not hard. The bunching I got down. It's the rolling because I got these fat hands, and I just could not put the wrapper on and make the cat. Oh my God, that was a disaster.
We'll have to try in March, Logan. We might
can
make
try. It. Oh yeah, hell yeah.
You bunch and I'll roll.
Deal. I can do that.
And then lastly, of course, was the gala dinner. That was a lot of people were dressed to the nines. There was a lot of dancing. I saw Jaime Garcia and Yanni do the Macarena.
Oh boy,
that's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, and they had like a special Florida Caña bar, which was kind of cool. And this was all at DE2 in their kind of cafeteria area. They just dressed it up to the nines. But then they had like the Florida Caña bar and lounge out there with some couches and stuff. It was fun. Lots of dancing going on, and then they had the Nicaraguan Blue Man Group come out at about midnight.
No.
So, seriously? They weren't the Blue Man Group, but they had these neon jumpsuits on. They were sort of like a strangely hieroglyphic kind of design on them. And at first, they were just singing, and they had some dancers and guys playing the drums and guys playing horn. And then after about 15 or 20 minutes of playing a few different songs of that, everybody disappeared, and 3 guys come out, and they just had the drums that have water on them. And have lights underneath, and then they were doing the Blue Man thing. It was pretty cool. And that was about it. There were a couple after parties in there that I won't get into, but overall it was a really fun experience and on kind of next level from Cigar Safari.
Well, I've already blocked off my calendar for 2018. I already told my my boss that we can't have the annual general meeting. First of all, we can't have the annual general meeting on my birthday, number one. And number two, we can't have the annual general meeting that week. So it's been blocked off of my calendar 12 months in advance because I don't intend to miss another one. So.
Yeah, it's worth going to, I would say. Did we get any questions on Facebook, Logan?
Dude, I was trying to watch. My computer's running so hella slow is that someone said hi. Tim said hi to Surgeon. And then after that, I started playing the video, and it locked up my computer, so I haven't even been looking at it.
Yeah, it's tough to play the video stream and try and broadcast at the same time. Most computers probably can't handle it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So if there were questions, apologize in advance.
All right.
Apologies. Cool.
New technology solutions. What can you do? Yeah. So obviously, cool experience. It sounds like everyone had a pretty good time.
Yeah, I didn't. The only bad feedback I really heard was about the coffee seminar being too long. A lot of people kind of disappeared during that because I think I think it's just not interesting to everybody. It was interesting to me, even though it was kind of a mess. And then the big complaint was, of course, no smoking on the bus.
Which yeah, I they really got to rectify that.
Take care of next year.
Yeah, you can't have a cigar festival with transport, especially like if it's from Manawa to Granada. Who cares? But like from if you're going over an hour, dog, with cigar smokers, like Logan would have been throwing a fit.
Well, like, I think I would have got on the bus.
Yeah, you wouldn't have got on the
drone.
Bus.
It was like get off the bus. He shows us around, and that was like 25, 30 minutes. Then get back on the bus. Then get off the bus again. 25, 30 minutes. Get back on the bus. Get back off the bus. 20, 30 minutes. Get back on the bus.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of getting on and off, and it was like I'm not relighting my cigar every time.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That sounds like an awesome experience. And like I said, I've blocked it off of my calendar. If Logan keeps me around, I intend to show up for the next Puro Sabor. I think that'll be awesome.
Not if you keep talking to me the way you did earlier. You'll be out of here like.
When's my contract renewal discussion?
Feces through a chicken.
Do we have any guests booked for Cigar Chat next week? Tentatively?
I'll be in the Dominican, bro.
You being the Dominican. So we might not have a Cigar Chat next week, or maybe Tripp and I might throw caution to the wind and just yammer on for 58 minutes. We will be live next week for sharing our pairings on our regular time of Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that'll be good, as always. And, you know, hope everyone enjoyed Tripp's recount of the Puro Sabor. Sounded like a blast. I wish I could have been there. But as we say on Cigar Chat, thanks to all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners out there, who are built to do things we are not built to do. Hope everyone has a great weekend and stay safe.
Have your pet spayed or neutered.